Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. My guest this evening is Dermot Slevin, Area Manager with Forestry Services Limited, and we're looking at the forestry sector where prices for timber are going in the right direction. Dermot, timber prices at a pretty good level at the moment, and we hear about the potential in the industry long term, and your company has been involved in this sector for many years, and there definitely are opportunities out there.
Evening, Chris. We've been involved since about the mid-80s, and there are undoubtedly opportunities out there. It's a good time for forestry. The future looks bright. The projections for timber shortage, indeed, are bright as well. There doesn't seem to be any sign of a glut on the market in the long term anyway.
And we hear a lot about the growing conditions in Ireland are particularly suitable for certain species and are a lot quicker than even in Scandinavian countries.
Well, that's true. Much quicker than Scandinavia, in actual fact, and particularly suitable for Sitka spruce. It would be the major crop species here, and it would be the tree that the market wants, really. It's particularly fond of heavy grass, rush, glaze-type soils. Grows extremely quickly there, and definitely the quickest in Western Europe, no doubt about it.
Now, Quilcha really do dominate the forestry scene as a state body, of course, but on the private side of things, there are opportunities there for farmers to get advice from companies like yourself if they're interested in this area.
Oh, aye, there are. I mean, there's plenty of advice to be had out there. Chagas provide a service as well as ourselves and other companies. Quilcha are more concentrating on their own market and their own timber crop. So they're probably, at the moment, not who you'd approach. They, at present, supply most of the timber to the Irish market, but the figures look to be changing, and the estimate is that by 2025, the private sector will be providing more timber to the Irish market than Quilcha do, so there are obvious opportunities there.
Many people maybe wouldn't automatically make the link between the sector and the construction sector, but when we had the boom times, obviously that led to a big increase in the demand for timber as well.
Well, it did, and we like to try and supply the home market. The major market for us, obviously, is export. We can supply our own market relatively easily. And during the boom times, there was no doubt that things were very good, and prices sagged a wee bit after the bust, but they're picked up a good bit since, and with the market up till now, anyway, was strong in England and across the water, so that was good. Obviously, like many other things, we don't know what's going to happen now, but the future would still seem to be bright, you know, in the medium term, and the short term it'll sort itself out.
Now, soil conditions are a factor, rainfall, your overall climate. If you take a county like Donegal, obviously the difference between the west of the county and the east of the county is huge, and that would have an impact on forestry as well.
Oh, very much so. The west of the county struggles to produce the kind of crops that the east will produce. As I say, the dominant tree prefers west heavy soil, but it has to be fertile, it has to be grass and rush. And even though there was many acres of blanket bog type soils planted in the past, they're just not producing the yield, and there are obvious difficulties in the west anyway with infrastructure, roads, distances, etc, etc. It's not to say that it can't produce timber, but it certainly can't produce it at the same rate as the heavier soils of East Donegal.
So tell us a little bit about the whole process from somebody starting off and the time scale involved before they get the end product and also the premiums along the way.
Well, anybody starting off greenfield site at the moment will get 15 years premium as well as a grant to do the work. The premium's typically €207 an acre. It's tax-free, but there is USC taken on it. And that will, 9 times out of 10, the grant will cover the job and looking after the job for 4 years. The client continues to draw his premium to year 15. And at around year 15, any client should be thinking about having a good look at his crop at that stage. It's not something that you should let go just because the premium is finished, then you look at it. You should really be actively looking at it, at least at year 15, if not before. The process, after the premiums are drawn, after that, the process would be you must assess your crop, and the first thing you must look at is the access to it. If the access is suitable, then the next thing you assess is the type of your crop itself, whether it's saleable at that stage, whether it's thinnable, whether it has to wait 2 years, 3 years, and so on.
And a company like yourselves, you can assist in the planting and also the harvesting. When it comes to the actual selling, how much of an open market is it? Do people generally go down the road of having contracts with certain sawmills?
Well, sawmills will purchase, companies will purchase, you know, private clients will purchase. There are contracts available, but obviously, is it wise to tie yourself into a contract with a sawmill any more than it's wise to tie yourself into any type of a contract without keeping your eyes well open? I mean, if a person has a crop to sell and it's a good quality crop, they will certainly have numerous people looking to buy it. But the first thing about it is, if you have that type of crop, is you must assess it. You must, do not sell it to the first person that comes along, is what I'm saying to you. And it really is very important when it comes to thinning that professional help is sought. There are many foresters and private forestry companies in the Chagas there to provide advice, and they should be utilised.
Now, unfortunately, like so many sectors, you do hear the odd horror story. So the advice must be to, you know, take your time if you're making the decision and go to a reputable company and to find out as much information as you can before committing yourself to anything.
Very definitely. Any reputable company will be happy to provide you with all the information and all the help in the world, and they will not be rushing you into signing contracts or signing agreements or anything like that. So that is very sound advice. Talk to a reputable company or a reputable forester. Find out, ask around, ask questions, inform yourself. It's like anything. You're only going to be able to sell that particular harvest, be it a thinning or a clear fell, once. So you owe it to yourself to sell it properly.
Many people would be perhaps surprised when they find out that countries like Germany have a far higher percentage of their land under forest than we do, and we're the Green Island. And environmentally, of course, with timber being so good in terms of being carbon neutral, it's an area that, no doubt, as we have this general shift towards a greener economy, that there are going to be more people getting involved.
Well, there are numerous reasons for people to get involved in timber. I suppose not everybody gets involved in it for a commercial return, although the vast bulk of people do. Germany and ourselves, we can't really be compared in terms of the area under trees, because obviously history has been different and they have a historical culture and we don't. Ours is relatively new forestry culture. But there are various grants and schemes available for people who want to take a more environmental view of it. There are such a thing as the Native Woodland Scheme, which obviously is not, it doesn't make timber production a priority. It tends to favour native timbers. It has its pros, it has its cons. It's not for everybody, but there are those schemes available, and the Forest Service website, or indeed any Forest Service inspector or Chagas person, will be able to inform any potential client about it.
Tell us a little bit about how the whole thinning process works, because it is absolutely key, isn't it?
It is key. If a crop is suitable, then it should be thinned. That's our view on it, because a thinned crop is worth much more at harvesting stage, at final harvesting stage, than an unthinned crop. The purpose of thinning is to remove the waste, to remove the rubbish, to give the better trees room to grow. And it normally would take three thinnings to have your crop in full final order for a clear fell. A first thinning, second thinning, a third thinning, they all now return, make a return to the private grower. They can expect to make money on them now, which was what perhaps they couldn't in years gone by. And a first thinning, you know, takes place at different years depending on how well the crop is growing, et cetera, et cetera. A person that has a crop that comes to first thinning, the first thing they should do is, they say, assess their access, get a professional person to weigh it up. They will have to apply for a felling license from the department. Once they have a felling license in place, they can select a harvester or a company to supervise the works. They then sell that timber on. And they would normally wait 3 to 4 years for a second thinning to take place. That will depend on how fast the crop is growing. The procedure is similar: felling license followed by selection of a contractor, etc. Same for a third thinning. In some cases, there may be a fourth thinning. It's not by any means usual. And then you're looking at a clear fell. Again, at this stage of the game, it's probably around year 28 to 30 in the life of the crop when you're looking at a clear fell.
What about the whole wood energy sector? I take it that is growing all the time.
Well, it is. The whole wood energy sector probably depends to a great degree on the price of oil. And when oil was expensive, there was a huge interest. Now, oil is obviously more competitive, but I mean, oil is not going to stay competitive. wood energy, typically it's wood chip is what's produced in this country, which as the name suggests is basically the worst of the timber is shoved into a chipper and chipped. The chips are then dried and fed into a boiler, and the boiler makes electricity out of them and energy. Very suitable for high energy users, factories, nursing homes, swimming pools, things like that. Not so much so for domestic use at the moment. But it has provided a very important market for the poorer material which we produce from our forests.
So tell us a little bit about the type of species that would be most popularly grown here in the Northwest.
Well, as I say, mostly sitka spruce. There would be a considerable amount of lodgepole pine growing as well, which is a poorer producer, but is more suitable to the poorer soils, which were planted in the say, mid-80s and early 90s. They have their place, but they're not a high-volume producer, not popular with the market. What the market wants is the tree called sitka spruce. If ground conditions can support a fast-growing crop of that, then there's no doubt that is the crop to plant.
And transport costs, is that a big factor?
It's a big factor, it is. When you have your timber to roadside, it can make a huge difference if you have to draw it 20 miles as opposed to have to draw it 40 miles, that's obvious. And I mean, it will certainly, especially in the first inning where the margins are tight, it will certainly make a big difference to the bottom line.
And are there cases that, you know, maybe somebody with quite a lot of land would end up having to actually put in a forestry road? Is there any assistance grant-wise for that?
There is indeed. The Forest Service provide a grant for forest roads. It's there's quite a tight specification on it. It's €40 a metre. It's so many metres a hectare, and each one must be assessed, obviously, separately. And we will say that it's vital to have that. You must get some kind of a forest road in, even if it's only to take the lorry off the county road where it can load. But it is a good grant, but it is a help, there's no doubt about it. It normally does not cover the cost, it might as well be said in mind.
Well, every sector has been affected or will be affected by Brexit in some way or another. What's the thinking from the forestry perspective with the sterling and currency fluctuations as well? Is this going to be easier or harder for the producer here, do you think?
Well, Forest doesn't have a crystal ball any more than anybody else. It's difficult to say. Obviously, weak sterling is not good for our mills selling into the English market. There's no doubt about that. So it will affect us. And as I say, at this stage, we don't know. A lot of the mills would have hedged forward and they would have their sterling bought and everything like that. But just the same, it's not that that's going to make the difference. It's going to be the price of sterling, you know, and if it's weak, then like all our exporters, we're going to struggle to get timber into that market.
Dermot Slevin, Forestry Services Limited, Area Manager. In other news, the IFA National Livestock Chairman Angus Wood has stated that the opening this week of tenders by the Turkish Meat and Milk Board for the supply of live animals is a positive development, and he expects Irish live exporters to tender for business. He said Ireland is in a strong position to supply weanlings. A strong live trade in the autumn is seen as essential for competition and to put a strong floor under weanling prices. The IFA Deputy President Richard Kennedy has called on the Minister for Agriculture Michael Creed to instruct his department to review all files of farmers where penalties have been imposed. This follows the recent High Court case which found the inspection of land was not done under the procedures outlined in the Charter of Farmers' Rights. He said that farmers expect to be treated fairly in all inspections and it is important that procedures are fully adhered to. Meanwhile, Vincent Roddy, the National Chair of the Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association, has called for major changes on how farm inspections are carried out. He also called for the establishment of an independent appeals board to replace the Agricultural Appeals Office, which is no longer fit for purpose, in his view. He cited what is in place in the UK as a possible model. The publication of the Cassells report this week contains some potentially worrying content for farmers. The report into how higher education should be funded and what sort of grants should be available contains a number of proposals, including ones that look at taking into account not just the income of parents when it comes to grants, but also the assets. And briefly, some livestock prices. Cattle prices, steers making €3.85 to €3.90 a kilo, heifers €3.95 to €4 a kilo. O-grade bulls, €3.70 a kilo. U-grade, €4 a kilo. And cows, O-grade, €3 a kilo. R-grade, €3.20 a kilo. Sheep prices, spring lamb making €5 to €5 a 10 to 21.5 kilos, heavier ewes €2.60 to €2.70 a kilo, and lighter, fleshier ewes €3 a kilo. And finally, graffiti has spread to bales of hay in County Tyrone. No, it wasn't a random act, but one that was done by an artist called Kevin Largy, who was asked to do the work on bales of hay near Five Mile Town by the Slieve Bea Cross Border Partnership Group. Well, that's it for tonight's edition. Me, Chris Ashmore. Until next week on Farming News and Views, goodbye.